What does Paul mean when he says, examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith? That's what we're going to discuss on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. We're beginning a new series, one that I'm really excited about, and we're calling it Testing Yourself, Approval and Disapproval. Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to lead us off in today's discussion. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name's Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
One of the ministries that we have is we publish an academic journal twice a year. Not a lot of people know about it. Journal of the Grace Evangelical Society. We've been doing it for over 30 years, I think.
Oh, yeah. We started in 88. And so how many pages is this journal?
It's a little over 100 pages usually. It's not super academic, okay? Basically, it's a venue for our slightly longer articles, you know, slightly more in-depth articles that are footnoted and go into a topic a little more deeply.
So like 15, 20 pages.
Right. So if you are a college-educated person or even if you love learning, this is definitely something that you can read.
Right.
This is definitely appropriate for you. And this spring 2020 issue, one of the articles is by you. Usually the typical journal has articles by both of us.
Right.
It's called Testing Yourself Regarding God's Approval and Disapproval, and it's about 2 Corinthians 13:5-7. Why did you think that was an important passage to focus on?
Well, over the past, I don't know, at least since I started Grace Evangelical Society in the summer of 1986, so what is that, 34 years ago, ever since then, this has always been a battle passage.
Okay.
It's always been kind of a dividing line for those who believe you can and should be sure of your eternal destiny and those who don't. And it's typically used as a passage to cause people to question whether they're born again. And so I've seen it as a real problem passage, it seems to me, not for the free grace position, but for anybody who holds to work salvation or lordship salvation, they have to admit, based on their understanding of this passage, that they don't know where they're going when they die.
Mm. Well, let's read the passage. It's pretty short. So 2 Corinthians 13:5-7 says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. Now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do what is honorable, though we may seem disqualified. So what are the questions? He's asking, you know, test to see whether you're in the faith. Don't you know that Jesus is in you? You don't want to be disqualified. You know, so what is this qualified and disqualified and see if you're in the faith? I can see why some people would say Paul is asking, test yourself to see whether you're saved at all.
Right. Well, what people do oftentimes is they read their theology into a verse or verses.
Mm-hmm.
So oftentimes verse 5 is picked out all by itself and they don't even read verses 6 and 7 because 5 does all they want it to do.
Right.
And they don't bother to read the first 4 verses, which deal with the fact that the Corinthians were questioning Paul, and they were questioning, at least some of them, whether he truly spoke for God. Was he truly an apostle? And so they don't get that background. They just pull out verse 5 and use it. They don't really go into verses 6 and 7. They don't notice the repeated use of the terms approved and disapproved. Now, unfortunately, the translation you just gave said approved and disqualified.
Mm-hmm.
And that is unfortunate because the Greek words are dokimos, which means approved, and adokimos, which means not approved or disapproved. And unfortunately, that leads to some confusion. But people go to this passage because it supports their idea that people who are in the church should constantly be challenged to question their salvation.
Well, here's a quote from Wayne Grudem, who wrote a book about free grace theology, which is our position. And you wrote a book responding to him called Grudem Against Grace.
Right, and he was actually writing against free grace theology.
Right, and so this is what he says about that passage. this verse poses a challenge for free grace advocates because they do not think it appropriate to tell regular churchgoers who profess to be Christians that they should examine themselves to find out if they are really born again or not. That comes too close to saying that good works are a necessary result of saving faith, which is contrary to free grace teaching. Well, so there you have an example of a well-known theologian, Wayne Grudem, who thinks that Paul, when he's telling them to examine themselves to see whether they're in the faith, to Grudem that means to find out if they are really born again or not. So Grudem sees being born again the issue being raised here.
Right, and he goes on to basically say that if you just read the verse, it's real obvious what he means. He goes on to say, quote, "Surely the entire verse is talking about whether they are born again Christian believers or not."
Now, Paul doesn't say that. He doesn't use the term born again. He doesn't ask whether they are justified. That's one of his favorite terms. And he's not asking them explicitly to test whether they have eternal life or not. That language is not in this passage.
No. And as is often the case in people who reject free grace theology and want to write against it, Grudem does not actually exegete the passage. Exegesis is pulling the meaning out of a text. It's interpreting a text. And so Grudem doesn't go into the context and say, okay, let's look at the first four verses. Let's look at the two verses after this, verses 6 and 7. Let's discuss the meaning of the word dokimos in this passage and the rest of Paul's writings. Let's look at ad dokimos here and in the rest of Paul's writings. Let's see exactly how these phrases are used elsewhere in Paul. Let's see whether Paul elsewhere in 1st and 2nd Corinthians discusses whether the readers are born again or not.
Right.
He doesn't do any of that.
No.
Because the commonly accepted practice among many evangelicals today is to proof text.
Mm.
So you state your position, you either mention a verse or maybe you actually quote the verse and write it out, and then you say something like, surely the entire verse is talking about whether they are born again believers or not. Now, he doesn't actually show that. He just makes a declaration.
Right.
Now, what we're doing in this article, or what I'm doing in this article, is I'm actually exegeting the passage. But right now, we're just talking about how other people take it.
Right. So I don't want to belabor the point here, because people can read this in your article.
Right.
And by the way, subscribing to the journal only costs,
$9 for a year. Yeah.
$9 for a year. And I think that might even... I don't know if that includes shipping.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't include... As long as you're in the U.S.
So that's basically you're getting 2 books for $9.
Right. It's great.
Because that's how long the journal is. All right. Here's another quote from, let's say, Charles Hodge, a very famous Presbyterian theologian, back when Princeton Seminary was a conservative Calvinist Presbyterian. He said, "To examine whether ye be in the faith... That is, whether you really have faith or are Christians in name only. The fact, therefore, that we are commanded to examine ourselves to see whether we are in the faith proves that a true believer may doubt of his good estate." In other words, it proves that assurance is not essential to faith. So, again, it seems like Hodges thinks that Paul is asking the Corinthians to see whether they have any faith at all, whether they are Christian at all.
Right, whether they're born again.
And if you can doubt that, and if Paul expects people to doubt that, then... For Hodges, that means, obviously, assurance is not the essence of faith.
Right, exactly. Again, he's making a pronouncement without going into the details of the passage.
Right. Here's a quote from Piper, John Piper, famous theologian, another one. He says, "Grace transforms examination from a tyrant and a burden into a means of faith, love, and hope. Self-examination doesn't have to be buckets of water thrown on the fires of our faith. Instead, it can be fuel. We can see where God is at work in us, and we can move forward with the confidence of knowing that he who began a good work in us will bring it to completion." So it sounds like I can see why Piper would really want to emphasize that. Wait a second, guys. This isn't examining whether you're saved or not is not a bad thing. It can be a good thing.
Right, but now the title of this blog on 2 Corinthians 13:5, here's the title: When Self-Examination is Evil.
Mm-hmm.
Evil. And he talks about unhealthy introspection. So in this quote, what he's basically saying, yes, he takes it for granted this passage is saying you need to examine yourselves to see if you're born again.
Right.
You need to look at your works to see if you're born again.
Right.
But be gracious.
Right.
Don't be too hard on yourself.
Yeah, because he knows that once you get on this path, this introspective path, and older Lutheran theologians used to call it the monstrous uncertainty.
Wow.
Because what happens when you start nitpicking your life to see whether you're saved or not? You will not have assurance. You will have doubt. And Piper must see this because he teaches people to introspect their salvation all the time. And so he must have lots of people come to him saying, I don't know if I'm really saved or not. And he's like, well, listen, do it, but be gracious.
Can you see how confusing this would be? Go ahead and look at your life to see if you're born again. But don't be too picky about it. Just be a little bit picky. You shouldn't just go through life not examining yourself to see if you're born again, but don't be overly scrupulous about it.
Right.
Okay, so where's that line? Well, they don't know.
No.
And they don't tell us.
All right, well, so that's the traditional view. Let's just give us a taste of why that view might be wrong, and we'll continue this in the next episode. What's wrong with taking this as a salvation passage?
Okay, first of all, the preceding verses, 2 Corinthians 13, 1 through 4, make it clear that they were questioning Paul,
right,
whether he spoke for God. They weren't questioning whether he was born again.
Mm.
Verse 5 starts out with the words, yourselves examine. He's switching from me examine to yourselves examine. They were examining him in the first four verses. So the shift is, examine yourself to see whether you speak for God, whether you're a representative of God, not whether they're born again. Secondly, the actual context of verses 5 to 7 shows that he's dealing with approval and disapproval, dokimos and adokimos, not whether they're born again or not. And the other thing is, all through the letter, Paul calls them believers, brethren, people who are in Christ, en Christo, his famous expression. Mm. So he repeatedly is affirming they're born again. It wouldn't make sense all of a sudden at the end of the second of two canonical letters that he would suddenly question whether they're born again, even though he's been repeatedly saying they are born again.
Right.
Wouldn't make sense. So we'll see that in the upcoming shows.
All right, very good. Well, be sure to get your subscription to the Journal of the Grace Evangelical Society. As we said before, it's $9 for first-time subscribers. That includes two issues, and it includes shipping for two issues. So
right,
that's a pretty good deal if you're interested in theology and the Bible. Well, keep on listening as we continue our discussion of 2 Corinthians 13, 5-7. See you next time.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Did you miss an episode of Grace and Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And we have all our past episodes right there on the site. In addition to this, we have all kinds of other free resources available for you. It's all designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that also at faithalone.org. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, I'm excited about tomorrow's program, in which we're going to discuss the context of 2 Corinthians 13, 5-7. Don't miss it. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.